Well, good morning and happy new year. So, a joke from a friend this morning. It said, if you're in church this morning, you not only have perfect attendance for the year, but for the decade as well. So congratulations. You have perfect attendance. Oh, well, it is after the new year, and I do have a question. How many of you have made resolutions or a goal for 2020? Raise your hand. A few of you. Awesome. Now, harder question. How many of you that set one last year achieved that goal or resolution? Raise your hand. Awesome, we got one. So last year I set the goal of reading 25 books or listening to 25 books. And as of, what was it? As of yesterday, I'm counting that one because I started it before the new year. As of yesterday, it was 28, so I barely made it, but I made it. And going into this next year, many of you have known that I did get a surgery, had part of my stomach removed, and part of that was for weight loss. There was other medical things going on with it that made that the best option for me to go. And so I have really made 2020 a year of health for myself, and I have got small goals to reach throughout the year that hopefully I won't make them. Setting one big goal seemed really, really daunting, and so I just made steps. And so that is kind of the plan for myself this year. But we all have goals, and we all have dreams, especially bigger ones, ones that we want to achieve or to fulfill throughout our life. But the question, the big question with it is, how do we make them a reality? When I was little, my dream was to become an astronaut. When I got into fifth grade, I realized that probably wasn't a reality when I averaged a C- in math. Just not good at math. As hard as I tried, I just couldn't do it. But the question is, how do we make those the reality? Sometimes our goals and our dreams, they change throughout the years. They get more defined. Sometimes they get more broad as life goes on. Other times, we have goals that are given to us. This is your goal to reach. This is something that you need to do, whether it be by a boss, a goal within your job, whether it's your spouse. This is a goal within our marriage, and this is your side of it. That one's more of a joint conversation, though. At least I would hope so. But we all have those goals that we want to achieve or ones that people have set before us. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10. That's where we're going to be starting at. But we're going to be bouncing around in 1 Samuel kind of quite a bit. But we have all heard this phrase said when we're either talking about our goals or something that's before us, something that may be daunting or challenging, and it's a form of encouragement. It is, you got it. You got this. You can do it. You've got this. We've all heard that. Many of us have probably used it. It's that form of encouragement of somebody who's trying to complete a task, something that they want to achieve, that goal. But the question is, for that one, what is it? When we say, you've got it, what is it? Well, and that depends on what we or the person that we are encouraging is trying to do. If you're trying to lift something heavy, it is strength. If you are trying to figure out a problem, it is smarts. You've got it. You've got the smarts. You're trying to lift something heavy. You've got it. You've got the strength. You have whatever it is you need to achieve what you're trying to do. Some of these things we get by working hard on ourselves. So like strength, you get it from working out, being active, those kinds of things. If it's wanting to be smarter at a subject, you study that subject. Although for some of us like myself with math, as much as you study it, it just doesn't seem to click. But generally speaking, the more you want to learn about something, the smarter you want to get at something, the more you study it. The more you do a job, the more proficient you will be at it. Some of these things come more naturally than others, but there are some things that we only have because they are given to us by God. And this one I'm talking about spiritual gifts, abilities and attributes given to us by God to help us achieve what he has called each of us individually and all of us collectively to do. And we're going to be looking at two characters from the Old Testament today. Each was called to do something. They're actually called to do the same exact thing. They were each given gifts and abilities that they needed to accomplish this, but they responded to those gifts in different ways. The first one we're going to be, the first character we're going to look at is Saul. Saul, he was at a time when we're first introduced to him, at a time when the judges are leading the Israel nation. Judges were individuals that gave guidance. They were the counsel for the nation, so to speak. If somebody had a problem or a dispute, they went to the judge. The judge would then pass judgment. So if two people were coming together having a fight over property lines, the judge would then make the decision. If somebody was having a problem trying to figure something out, they would go to the judge and the judge would give them advice. They were that person. And so this was the time that the Israelites were in, and there was a guy named Samuel, and he was not only a judge, but he was a prophet. He was one that was spoken to by God and gave instruction to the people of Israel. And so he was the judge, and there were no kings in Israel yet. But Israel wanted to have a king. The reason being is Samuel's sons, who were going to most likely take over as judges, they were also high priests. They were corrupt. They were greedy people. They were after money. They took bribes. And the people of Israel realized this, and they're like, we don't want that. That's not good for us. We don't want that. And so they went to Samuel saying, hey, we want a king. All the nations around us have a king. We want to have a king. We want to be like these other nations. And so Samuel goes to God and says, they want a king. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? And God says, well, what they're saying is they are rejecting me as their king. The reason that Israelites didn't have a king was because God was their king. The judgments, or the judges, not all of them were prophets, but God would speak to many of them, giving them insight and things to say, instruction for leading the nation. And so he basically says, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. But I will give them what they want, but with this warning, that the king will become corrupt, the king will become greedy, the king that they get will eventually basically enslave them. He will take portions of their land. He will take portions of their income. He will tax them. He will take the finest of their animals. And they're going to feel oppressed. They're going to feel like they are enslaved. So Samuel goes back to the Israelites and says, here's the deal. I'll give you a king, but this is what's going to happen. They said, we still want a king. And this is when we get introduced to Saul. Saul was a noted warrior. He was one that was very established. He was a leader among men. He was a handsome guy. He was a tall guy. He had everything going for him. He knew when to obey orders. He knew when to give orders. He had a leadership presence. He was kind of like that man's man at the time. And God says, Samuel, this is who I want you to anoint. And in 1 Samuel 10:1, we read this. Then Samuel took a flask of oil, poured it over Saul's head. He kissed Saul and said, I am doing this because the Lord has appointed you to be the ruler over Israel, his special possession. Now, I give you a kind of a quickened introduction to Saul. I mean, there's a whole story about him going looking for donkeys and all this stuff that is really the big introduction. But from the previous two chapters, if you go back and read them, we get this picture of who Saul is. And from that, we find three things about Saul. The first one is he is called. We see this one right here in verse 1. He is called by God to be the leader of Israel. He has this calling upon his life. Second thing is he is gifted. God has given him gifts that he needs, abilities that he needs to be the leader of the nation of Israel. Excuse me. And so if you continue to read chapter 10, it'll actually say Saul, there were three signs that Samuel said would happen to Saul. three things that would happen that would say this is going to be the indication that it's coming from God and not from me. And one of those three things was that the Spirit of God would come upon him and he would prophesy, giving him this natural, unnatural, or supernatural, that's the word I'm looking for, supernatural ability to speak about things that have yet to come. God was giving him these gifts that he needed, the abilities that he needed to lead the nation. So we see Saul is called to be a king. He is anointed by God's chosen prophet. He is given gifts needed to be that leader. And then lastly, there are others who see this. There is a recognition of other from other people of what is going on in Saul's life. Other people recognized that Saul was a leader. They recognized his warrior status, his physical stature, and they were excited to have him as king. They saw that he prophesied that the Spirit of God had come over him and something happened and that he was chosen by God. People saw this. So he was called, he was gifted, and others saw it. So that's the first character. Now let's look at a guy named David. See, after a time, after Saul was anointed as king and a few other things happened to really firmly establish that in everybody's mind in the kingdom of Israel, he went about doing kingly things. He started setting things up. He started going to war. And he became that king. And then after a while, God rejects Saul because Saul decided to not remain faithful to God, to take things into his own hands instead of waiting and remaining and listening to God. He decided to take it for himself. So God says to Samuel, I have rejected Saul as the king because he does not listen. And he sends Samuel to a place called Bethlehem. He says, go to Bethlehem and find a man named Jesse, and you will anoint one of his sons. So Samuel goes, and he finds Jesse outside the town of Bethlehem, and as he's going up and he's talking to him, he sees the first of seven sons. And in his mind, Samuel is going, this is the guy. Look at him. This has got to be the guy that God has sent me to anoint. And we read this in 1 Samuel 16. This is verse 7, and then we're going to jump over to 13. Verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. In verse 13, so as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David on that day. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. So we see a parallel between Saul and David. Just like Saul, David is called to be king by God. He is anointed as the next king of Israel. He is gifted. God has given David abilities and gifts that he needs to be the leader that he is called to be. And then we see this in 1 Samuel 16, 18. One of the servants said to Saul, one of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talented harp player. Not only that, he is a brave warrior, a man of war, and has good judgment. He's also a fine-looking young man, and the Lord is with him. Others saw it. People recognized David was something special. They recognized not just the physical attributes that David had, but the talents, the spiritual talents that David had. If you go on to read why the servant was talking to Saul about David, it was because Saul was being tormented by a spirit. And the only thing that would calm him was music, and so they called David in to play the harp for King Saul so that he would be able to rest and that the spirit would leave him alone. He had a special ability, a gift from God to be able to soothe that pain. But they also recognized that the Lord was with him. The Lord was with David. That was a noted recognition. Not that it wasn't just that he was obedient, but it was because there were things around him, things that would happen with him that could not be explained by anything other than God. And so they recognized that he was chosen by God. Both Saul and David had it. God called them to do something. He equipped them with what they needed. They had it. They had what they needed to fulfill what God was asking them to do. And this translates to us, because if we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we are following after him, the same can be said of us. Because if you're a follower of Christ, you got it. You have exactly what God needs for you to fulfill what he has planned for you. You have exactly what God has given you. You have exactly what you need to fulfill what God has given you, the purpose he has called you to do. God has given each of us a calling, a purpose to fulfill within his kingdom. We all have an individual calling, an individual purpose within the collective purpose of reaching the lost and making disciples. Each of us have a piece to play, a part to be within that. And if we are following Christ, if we are pursuing after him, God has equipped us with exactly what we need to fulfill our purpose. You are called for it and you are gifted for it. Romans 12, 6 through 8 says this: "In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly." God has called us. God has gifts that we need to fulfill the calling that he's put upon our lives. And when we live our lives for God, others see it. Others see it when we pursue after God and we use our gifts and the abilities that he has given us to fulfill the calling of reaching those that are lost, of discipling those that need him. Others see it. They note that there is a difference. They may not be able to put their finger on it. They may not know exactly what it is, but they know there is something different. There is something different about the person who walks with the honesty and speaks truth. There is a difference when the person that speaks kindness to the person who is never kind to anyone. They notice the differences. They notice the abilities that God has given us when we live it out in our lives. Saul and David were called for it. We are called for it. Saul and David were gifted for it, and we are also gifted for it. In the same way that others saw it in them, others see it in us. Now we have to answer the question, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with what God has called us to do and what he has given us to do it with? And from these two characters, we have two options, two paths that we can follow. First one is we can be like Saul. Saul kept what was given to him, and he hid. Saul kept what was given to him, and he hid among the baggage. See, Saul was anointed by Samuel, and then a week later, to make everything all final, to make everything right in the eyes of everybody in Israel, and so that everybody in Israel would know that Saul was chosen by God and not by Samuel, they had a ceremony where Samuel called all of the tribes and all of the clans and said, "This is what we're going to do for us to find the king. We're going to cast lots. So they cast lots, and it fell on the tribe of Benjamin. They cast more lots, and it fell on the family of Saul. They cast lot one more time, and it fell on Saul. And we see this in 1 Samuel 10, 21 and 20 through 23. And finally, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen from among them. But when they looked for him, he had disappeared. So they asked the Lord, "Where is he?" And the Lord replied, "He is hiding among the baggage." So they found him and brought him out, and he stood head and shoulders above everyone else. Saul decided to hide. Instead of sharing the gifts and abilities that God had given him, instead of pursuing after the calling that God had laid upon him, he went and he hid. Sometimes we do the same exact thing. We hide in our own baggage instead of sharing what God has given us. We hide behind our insecurities, telling ourselves there's no way we can do what God is asking. We tell ourselves we aren't smart enough, that we're not strong enough, we're not courageous enough, or we're not bold enough to pursue after that which God is telling us to do. We hide behind our insecurity, saying we can't do that. There is no way. There's no way I can talk to that person. There's no way I can pray for them. There's no way I can go over there. We hide behind our past, who we used to be, the things we used to do. Why would that person ever listen to me? They know who I am. They know what I've done. They know what I used to be like. Why would they listen to me? We use it as an excuse not to do what God is asking. We tell ourselves that we are busy and that we will do it later when we have the time. I'll talk to them when I catch them next time, or when I see them next time. Next time I'm out, I'll make sure to do that. Next time I'm on the phone with somebody, I'll be sure to tell them. We use busyness as an excuse not to fulfill our calling. We hide behind comparison, saying we're either too good or not good enough. We like to hide behind our baggage. We like to hide so that no one can see us. The problem is that when we are neck deep in our baggage, we miss out on where God wants to take us. Don't hide in the baggage and miss out on what God has in store for you. See, that's our first option, the first path that we can follow. We can be like Saul. We can keep it to ourselves and we can hide. Or for the second, we can look at David, see what he did. See, while Saul was keeping his gift to himself and while he was hiding in the baggage, David decided to share and step up for battle. See, when the Philistines attacked Israel, Saul was king at the time. David was still a shepherd. He went to take some food and supplies to his brothers, and he shows up, and this big, huge giant walks out and challenges them. "Whoever faces me and defeats me, we will be your slaves. But if you face me and I win, you will be our slaves." Did this 3 times a day, and nobody took it upon themselves. The king hid in his tent. The soldiers hid behind rocks. David went out after him. In 1 Samuel 17, 26 says this, "David asked the soldiers standing nearby, 'What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?'" See, others knew that God was with David, but David knew it himself. David knew that he was destined to lead the nation of Israel and that God was going to be with him in the endeavors that he needed to do. So he recognized the gifts that God had given him, and he shared those gifts by stepping up and challenging the Philistine, by challenging Goliath. Saul said, "I don't have what it takes. I don't have what it takes to go out and face this giant, to be the king that this nation needs. While David said, take what I have. I'll do it. No one else will. I'll do it because I know God is with me. Take what God has given me, the gifts, the abilities he has bestowed upon me, and use them. That's what David did. Each of us has a gift. Each of us may have more than one. Gifts given to us by God to aid us in the call that he has put upon our lives. And when God gives us something, we are also able to give. Being gifted means that you have something to give. You have something to offer those around you. See, often we just see this as using our gifts in the church. You have a gift of encouragement, so you walk around encouraging people within the church, checking up on them, making sure that they're okay, seeing how you can be that influence or share influence within their lives. You have the gift of serving, so you serve somewhere in the church. You have the gift of teaching, so you help teach. We use our gifts in the church, which is good, and from a pastoral perspective, it's very, very much appreciated, and you should be doing it. But we also need to make sure we're using our gifts not just in the church, but as the church. God gave us our gifts to help us fulfill the callings that he's put upon our life. Collectively, that is for us to reach the lost, to make disciples. Each and every one of us who is a follower of Christ is called to make those disciples, to teach them to obey all that Christ has commanded. And when we use our gifts as the church, it means that we are going out and we are sharing our gift with those that don't know Christ. And we allow them to see the transforming and redemptive power of Christ through us. This last week, I had the opportunity to go home to Kansas and visit some family, and I got to hang out with my year-and-a-half-year-old nephew. And his absolute favorite song is This Little Light of Mine. He would constantly go up to my sister or my brother-in-law and song, song, song. And they knew exactly what song he was talking about. Anytime he was fussy or just kind of getting out of hand and they just wanted him to calm down and relax, they would play this song. Anytime he was playing and just got it in the middle of his head, he would run over, song, song, song. And they would play a version of This Little Light of Mine. I'm pretty sure it's one that they played in the preschool class that he goes to. And every time it would start, he'd get a big old grin on his face and he would light up and he'd put his hand in the air and start to play and he'd go like that. And then he'd come up over to you and he'd be doing it and he'd look at you and he'd start going back and forth and he wouldn't leave until you started doing it too. He loved the song, This Little Light of Mine. If you were at our Christmas Eve service, we had a candle lighting moment where we talked about Jesus being the light of the world and how when we accept him into our hearts, that light lives inside of us. And when we share it with others, that light begins to grow and grow and grow. The gifts God has given each of us help us in sharing who he is, in spreading that light, helping share his light with others. But we have that choice to make with the gifts that are given to us. Do we take that light and do we keep it to ourselves and hide it behind our baggage? Or do we take those gifts, do we share that light and give it to others? You pray with me. Heavenly Father, you have called each of us to a very specific purpose. And you've given each of us the abilities and the gifts that we need to fulfill that. To play a part in reaching those that are lost and making disciples. And there are times, yeah, it can seem like our gifts aren't that great. They aren't that important. Yet you have given them to us. And you've called us. So therefore they must be. And God, I just ask that you would challenge us. To be a little bit like David. A little bit more like him. And not having fear in sharing our gift. And not having fear in what you've called us to do. That you would continue to fill us with your Spirit, God, so that we don't hide the light that you have given us. That you'd place the people in front of us that need to see the light. Because you give us everything we need to fill our calling, that means you're going to give us the words that we need to say. You're going to give us the attitude in which we need to approach God. And even though there may be obstacles that try and stop us, giants that stand in our way, with you, they will crumble before us. God, I just ask that you continue to give us everything that we need to fulfill what you have called us to do. In your name we pray.